Aids to Devotion by Andrew Murray. Chapter 12. The Spirit of Unity. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you too were called to the one hope of your calling. In our last chapter, our subject was the unity of the Spirit, as it is to be maintained in interchange with fellow Christians, in all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Here our subject is the Spirit of Unity, as he is the source and power in which believers, as members of one body in Christ Jesus, are to minister to each other for the building up of the body of Christ. The knowledge of what the body of Christ means, the insight into its glory and its purpose, and the fulfilling of the place and ministry to which God has called us in the body, have a deeper connection with the spiritual life than is generally thought. To receive the Spirit and the love of Christ into the heart, in truth, means death to every vestige of selfishness. It means our surrender as a member of the body, giving our life and love entirely to Christ and his body, such that the welfare of every member within our reach shall become the supreme object of our desire. Let us try to realize what this body is in which the blessed Spirit of God seeks to show himself. We know what a masterpiece of the divine workmanship a human body is, made of the dust, and yet the suitable dwelling place and instrument in which the invisible life can unfold and express itself. But this is only an image and a parable of that body of which Christ is the head. In regard to it, our epistle tells us, in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that God put all things under Christ's feet, and he gave him to the church as head over all things. Now the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, the body which is to contain and to exhibit the divine fullness as it dwells in Christ bodily. It tells us in chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, that in him the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It reminds us in chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may present the church to himself as glorious, not having a stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. It suggests that all that we know of the close and intimate union between our body and its head with all its members, of the wonderful power that the head has to move and use every member, and the readiness with which every member yields itself to the service of the head on behalf of its fellow members, is but a shadow of that still more mysterious power by which every believer is linked to Christ and ever holds himself at the disposal of his fellow believers. One body and one spirit. This body of Christ is to be the very highest revelation of the glory of God, demonstrating his power to make the creature of the dust, fallen under the power of sin and Satan, the partaker of the likeness and the holiness of the ever-blessed Son. It is the work over which the Holy Spirit presides in this dispensation, as he subordinates all his work in the individual believer to carry out the eternal purpose, that they all should be one, even as the Father is one with the Son. It is only as the Church yields herself to his divine working and makes his great aim her aim too, that the power of the Holy Spirit can be expected to work unhindered either in the Church as a whole or in the individual members. The work which this Spirit of Unity is to do we find in the following verses. When ascended up on high, Christ gave to his church the gifts of apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers, chapter 4, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that is, to build up the body of Christ. Note well, it is not the apostles and prophets and pastors who are to build up the body of Christ. Their work is the equipping of the saints for the ministry of building up. Every saint is to be trained and equipped to take his part in the building up of the body of Christ. Just as every member of my body helps the building up of the whole, every believer is to know his place and work in the body of Christ, caring for every other member. Each one needs the other. Each one is to care for the others. Each one is to feel himself so linked to the whole in the love of the Spirit that he shall not only avoid and put away everything that is selfish or unloving, but shall actively yield himself to the Spirit to be the instructor and the comforter of all who are weaker. And then follows chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. Nothing less than this is to be the aim of each one, not only for himself, but for all around him, that so indeed the body may be the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thus alone can we, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body grows in love. The bearing of all this on the spiritual life and our devotions is clear. As long as our prayers only aim at our own perfection and happiness, they defeat themselves. The selfishness that is their aim prevents the answer. It is alone in the union with the whole body that each member can be healthy and strong. The building up of the body in love is indispensable to our spiritual health. Let us see to it that we, chapter 6, verse 18, with every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and to this end be alert, with all perseverance and requests for all the saints. Let this be the proof that the Spirit of unity dwells and prays in us. Let us love one another earnestly from a pure heart. In our home life, in prayer circles, in all our fellowship with God's children, let our love watch over and encourage them, and ever remember that we and they are indispensable to each other. Let the Spirit of unity be the life of our secret devotions. Grace will be given to live our whole life in unceasing devotion to Christ and his glorious body, building itself up in love.